As with a body, so it is too with a ship. We all have our part to play to keep the ship afloat. There's a lot of different roles, a lot of different things needed. And the bigger the ship grows, the more parts there is to play. And it is impossible just for one or two people to do it. You need a big, healthy body in that ship to keep it afloat. But you see, a ship should not just float. It shouldn't just stay in one place. Again, looking back to last week's sermon, it needs to grow. You know, it needs to be built out so that there's space for more people. It is very important for all the functional parts to grow, not just grow in weight. You know, we can't just keep taking on passengers onto a ship because you're going to grow in weight. But the problem is you need sailors. And you don't need just sailors. You don't need just these experienced guys. You need recruits. You need apprentices. You need cadets. So we need to pull people in. And nobody's called just to stay a passenger, but you are called to become a recruit and then to become an apprentice and then grow until you become a sailor in your own right to play a part within the ship. So we need to grow in all the functional parts. And the big thing about this is that this ship, the let's call it the HMS Josh Jane Becklem, should be fully manned and operational and ready for what God wants to do, no matter what. You see, if we grow into this health, it doesn't matter if the engineer gets swapped around or if there's a new engineer coming in or the captain gets another vice captain or captains get swapped around because the systems are the same. If we're building it according to the blueprint of Jesus. And that ship will remain ready no matter the season, no matter the change. We will be ready for whatever our captain wants to do. So you see, even then, there's still something very important. The ship can't remain in one place. The ship is meant to move forward. Not just grow, but move forward to a destination. And that is where we come in today. So first, before we can move somewhere, before we can set our heading, we need a destination. Because the heading is simply the direction we need to move to get to the destination. So immediately the question arises, but what is our destination? Where are we going to go? What? Hopefully on the way. Hopefully on the way, Hawaii is one of the stops. But you see, it's such a simple answer. It's such a short, easy answer. It's Jesus. It is to grow, to look more like Jesus. It's so that we can grow to walk like Jesus. It's so that we can grow to look like Jesus and speak like Jesus. It is for us to have intimate and real relationship with the living person of Jesus. That is where we are going. I think that is where God wants us to go. Our heading is very simply the head of our body. But you see, to get there, we need to go where he tells us to, but we also need to do it in the way that he tells us to. Otherwise, we've got no hope of getting there in the way that he wants us to get there. So there's two important questions that immediately arise to break this down a little bit further. How does he want us to get there? And secondly, where does he want us to set our direction? So if we look at Ephesians 4, verse 11 to 13. Now these are the gifts that Christ gave to the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. So he's given us not only the blueprint, but he's given us certain gifts to build out this boat. Because it's not our boat, it's his. And he's given us these gifts. So we've got to be intentional in using the gifts that he's given us. And not us, but we need to receive the gifts that he's sent in. The people that's been identified as gifts. The prophetic equip that's coming up. They all recognize gifts to the body. So they don't just have a gift of prophecy. They are a gift of prophecy to the body. And we need to receive it. And then the second question, continuing from verse 13. This will continue. Sorry, did I skip verse 12? Good. Sorry, AV team. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. What a destination. Isn't that incredible? Not only has he invited us in, but he's made the way. So now that we have our heading, we've got a few important questions. If we think about this picture of the boat on the ocean, what are the things that can throw us off course? So the first one that's come up, and I think it's come up quite recently a lot, is if the crew is divided, if we are not in unity, I think that's the quickest way of getting a boat absolutely nowhere. Then we can say, but okay, storms. Storms can definitely blow us off course. Waves. And I'm not talking about these storm waves. I'm just talking about regular waves. The everyday kind of waves of just that motion. It disrupts you. If you just stick to one direction and you're in these waves, it's not going to take you long to be completely off course. And then finally, number four, is winds. You can be blown astray by winds that we weren't expecting. So I think we can break these four points down a little bit and go a bit deeper. So within the first point, disunity or division, who of you have rowed a boat before? Done a bit of river rafting? Anybody? Yeah. So usually on river rafting, you're two guys in a boat. They say the guy in the front is the engine, and then they put the bit more experienced guys in the back. Put the heavy guy down, like in the front, then you row downhill. So, but you put the more experienced guy in the back, and their job is to navigate. And the front guy is called the engine. So when they tell you to go, you go for it. But for those of you who've rowed before, what happens if one of the two put a paddle into the water, if an oar is stuck out in the water? You immediately start turning that way. Doesn't matter if you're in the front or the back. If you put an oar in the water at the wrong time, the boat will have a bit of drag and you'll turn that way. The similar thing happens, even if you row perfectly, we tend to be stronger on one side. So even that starts pushing the boat a little bit off. So the bigger the boat and the more people contributing, the more important it becomes that we go in the same direction. That we don't start pulling and thinking it's good for me to stop and then row, and then it's a good way of ending up deep in a river, going down some rapids and trying to swim to catch your boat again. It does make it interesting, but not in church life. Because the thing is, it's dangerous. People can really get hurt. Because we don't always see the danger under the water. So we got to all work to move the same direction. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10. I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with each other. Let there be no division in the church. Rather, be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. So everything we do, we need to do the same. And it's interesting, we hear this and we think, oh, but that's going to take so much conversations and everybody in facilitation. But it's not. It's actually the easiest thing. And you guys want to know why? It's because if we all just do it Jesus' way, we will be doing it the same way. So if we can agree that we will not do it my opinion and your opinion and we're going to try and find the best opinion among us, but we're going to come back to the Bible and say, let's do it God's way, we will do it one way. We will be of one heart, one mind, and one purpose because it's the purpose of Jesus. The Bible goes further on this concept of unity. It gives you instruction. It tells you, you need to fight for unity. It will not come easy. And I read this, and anyone who's ever watched a sailor movie or a pirate movie or a naval warfare movie, somewhere there's this scene of the storm and this chaos, and there's this big guy standing with this big wooden wheel, like struggling and like pushing with all he has. And a lot of the times, there's other crewmates running up and trying to help him steer this boat. And then they get thrown off, and usually like the captain or the hero of the movie runs in and grabs the wheel. And you know, you all know what I'm speaking about. I'm pretty sure you don't even have to be a pirate movie fan to know and have somewhere seen that scene. And I think it's such a good picture of how it looks to fight for unity. It doesn't matter how good and big and strong you are. You cannot do it alone. We need to have the crew pull together to come and fight for unity. And sometimes we do get overwhelmed. It gets messy. It gets stormy. And then we do need a gift to come in and help us to receive unity. And that's why it's so important. Because we need to receive a gift to the body in, to receive them as the gift they are, receive somebody with a pastoral gifting to come and facilitate the conversation. Because they're coming in with the right heart. They're coming in to make sure that we're getting back to unity. We're getting back to God's way, not my or your way. It's so beautiful. Ephesians 4, verse 1 to 4. Therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Isn't that in itself incredible? Know that every one of us sitting here, that verse is relevant to you. Live a life worthy to your calling, because it's God who's called you. He has put you here. Every one of you, not here per accident, you're here for a purpose, for God's purpose. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. Man, it's a us thing and it's beautiful. Isn't it incredible? So going on to the second point, we said storms. And you know, sometimes we get under this illusion that now that I've come to God, now that I'm doing it His way, now that I've gotten aboard His ship, it's going to be smooth sailing. Well, I'm hopefully not bursting anyone's bubble today, but that's really not how it works. The Bible actually guarantees you that that's not how it's going to work. If we look at John 16, verse 33, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. So it's not about how big the storm is. It's about our captain has already gone through that storm. He's already gone ahead. He knows how to conquer that storm, no matter the storm. Not a personal storm that you're in, not just a church storm, but every storm, because He has gone ahead of us. And He has guaranteed you, no matter how high the waves or how big the winds or how much thunder you see on the horizon, if He took you there, He will take you through it. There's nothing in this life that you're going to have to do alone, because He already knew the dreams He had for you. And wherever He's brought you to, He's brought you there for a purpose. He's using that storm to show you something more of Himself or something more of you that you might need to leave behind. So there's so many analogies in this. He already conquered the storm. He's captaining us through it. You really don't have to look for to find somewhere in the Bible where Jesus silenced a storm for someone or took somebody through it. It is incredible how much scripture there is on this. The beautiful thing is we see in the Bible as well that God can stop any storm in an instant. There's a moment where they led him into the boat and they were ashore. There was a moment where he said, and the winds and the waves silenced. So if you are still finding yourself within a storm, it is most probably the best thing for you. Because is God not faithful? Has he not always been faithful? Looking back on our own lives, we sometimes forget the amount of storms he's conquered for us. What makes this one different? He is putting you where you are because he's showing you something deep within your heart that he never meant you to carry. God is God. He's intentional in all things, or he's not God. He knows what he's doing, even in your storm. If you allow him to take you through the storm, you're going to come out on the other side looking so much more like him. That's a guarantee. The third point was waves. And as mentioned, I'm not talking about these crazy big storm waves. I'm just talking about that regular motion of every day. As we go over these waves, I don't know if you guys, rowing or paddling or anything of that, have seen. Even driving on a tar road, for those of you with a license, when was the last time you locked your steering wheel in place and you got to your destination? Hopefully you didn't do it. Don't test it. Don't go out from this place and test it. Because the thing is, it's not just a perfectly smooth surface that we're going over. So we need to keep making these little adjustments. It's a daily thing. It's in every moment thing where the direction needs to change a little bit for us to keep heading to our true destination. So Luke 9 verse 23, then he said to the crowd, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross daily and follow me. You see, we need those daily adjustments, wave after wave. There's no place for growing arrogant. I'm never going to arrive and now I know and now I can go off on my own. The other thing that's really important is when you find yourself in these waves, it is so important not to lose sight of your destination. Don't forget where you're going. And the beautiful thing about this as well is we actually require one another to help us keep our direction and keep our heading. For any of you who've swum in the ocean, if I swim in the ocean and I find one marker there at the back and I go like, yo, I'm going to stay straight with that pillar over there. I'm going to wash all the way this side and I'm still going to see the pillar, or to this side. And I'm still going to go, no, but I can still see the pillar, although I'm going towards all the boulders and rocks and everything. But if I've got somebody and I mark the one marker with the bigger one back there, I can see it immediately when I start to drift because stuff's not aligned anymore. And we are the same. God has given us one another to help us keep the direction towards him. Isn't it a beautiful design to make sure that we don't drift in these day-to-day waves? So life requires a constant repentance. It's not an ugly thing to repent. It is one of the most beautiful things you can do to realize, oh Jesus, I missed it. Lord, I'm so sorry. Father, I'm sorry for missing it again. But thank you that your mercy is on you every day. Thank you that in this moment, I can change my direction. Just because it's been that way doesn't mean it has to be. I can change now because I'm coming back to you, to your way and what you want to do. 1 John 1 verse 7. But if we are living in the light as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Going over to point four, the last one we mentioned was winds. So the scripture I'm going to give you now is continuing forward from the first scripture we looked at in Ephesians, speaking about how God has given us the fivefold ministry as gifts to help us grow in maturity. You guys remember that? Good. So continuing on from verse 14, then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever They sound like the truth. But instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Jesus, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly, as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that so directly what we need? If we are ever to get to our destination, if we ever want to do it the right way, isn't that so direct? Going, man, just receive the gifts I'm giving you. Just do it my way. Man, beautiful. So there's one point we didn't mention earlier, and I'm curious to hear if somebody could pick up on it. What makes these four previous points so dangerous is because it influences something. If you think very practically on a boat on the ocean, all four of these things do something to a boat. Does anybody have an idea about what it is? Close. Very close. There we go. It influences the rudder of the boat. You guys know what a rudder is? Not a udder. I know we're in the Free State. A rudder. Not here for milk, we're here for direction. So what makes the previous thing so dangerous is it influences the rudder of the boat, causing it to drift in different directions and head straight into different directions. So what is our rudder if we think about it in that light? James 3, verse 4 to 6. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. And I'm believing the scripture is not just speaking about you personally. Yes, you, but I'm thinking larger scale body as well. It can set your whole life on fire, if it is set on fire by hell itself. So I'm thinking the Bible makes a big deal about our tongues. So the big question we have then is our rudder pointing in the right direction? You see, if I look at that scripture, we have a choice. It very clearly says you have a choice. We will go to where our rudders are pointing, even if they're strong winds. But if our rudder is set in place, nothing will sway you. So there's an important question, and this is, if you think about sailing out to the ocean, what determines like our direction? And not determine our direction, I'm repeating myself, but the thing is, if we try and find our direction by what's behind us, we will go astray. It is important that we go to the destination we can see. It's important that we go towards our end destination, not keep looking back, trying to align where we think we should go, because of what's behind us. That is what we are called. So in a similar way, I can't afford to keep speaking like the person I was. Instead, I need to start speaking from the person of Jesus, because that's where I'm going. But if I remain at the port where I started, or the last fortress I passed that I built in my heart because I got hurt, I will keep speaking that way and I will just circle back to it, because I'm pointing my rudder back that way. So we will drift back. So we may need to make so sure that we are pointing our rudders in the right direction and not keep on going back to what's behind us. Because what's behind you has absolutely no influence on what or who God called you to be. It's all about Him and where we're going. It's not about where we're coming from. So will we start speaking from the person of Jesus? And when I speak, do people see Jesus or do they just see me? Because that'll be such a clear indication of where my rudder is pointing. Is it back to me or is it pointing ahead to Jesus? Now you can go to the slide you thought I missed. Go back again. Just need some volume there.
And if you hear nothing else that I said tonight, I want you to know that big ships turn slow. If you take a cruise, when you go to bed at night on a cruise ship, you don't see that ship turned and landed you at the next destination. It turned all night long, but God kept you stable. You can't feel it, but it's turning. You can't see it, but it's turning. You can't talk about it, but it's turning. Other folks don't recognize it, but it's turning. And I just came to tell somebody tonight, big ships.
Turn slow.
Turn slow.
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing? And isn't this so in line actually with a lot of the prophetic word that's been coming out this morning? Do not lose faith because big ships turn slowly. Just because we can't feel it happening doesn't mean it's not happening. Keep your rudder in place because big ships turn slowly. And the problem about this is sometimes if we don't see the results immediately, we again want to change the direction of the rudder. But it takes time. And the more we flap our rudder up and down in all sides, the longer it's going to take us to turn to get back to the course that we were supposed to go. So even if you don't see the results, keep the rudder in place. One purpose, one mind, one way. Going to Jesus. So even if it doesn't look like it's changing, keep the rudder pointing at Jesus and the ship will turn. The ship will get there, but we need to keep the rudder in place. Not be flinged up and down. Not be thrown all over the place. Proverbs 18 verse 21, the tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. So we can quickly take this revelation about the rudder, one and a rudder. And we can go back and quickly look again at these four points that we were looking at. So again, we can go and ask ourselves, in terms of disunity or unity, which is my word sowing when I speak in my conversations, in my everyday life, even in the conversations I have with myself? Am I sowing unity or disunity? Am I humble, gentle, and patient in the way I talk? How about when I speak about others? Is there grace to be found in the way that I look at others? Do I always, and I mean always, treat and speak to and about them with love? With storms. When I am in the middle of a storm, what do I say then? When I find myself within trials and tribulations, am I still speaking about Jesus? Am I still speaking like Jesus? Am I giving him praise and glory because he knows what he's doing? Am I giving him praise in all circumstances for I know the will he has for me? That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible gives us instruction to point our rudder to. Or have I quickly started to turn the rudder back to myself? Why me? Why is it always me? Again, me. Why not them? Why? The moment I start pointing that rudder back to myself, realize you might be turning that boat completely the wrong way. Waves. How does my daily conversations with Jesus look? Is it a living conversation with a living person? Or have I kind of drifted back to kind of just going, you know, ticking the box? I've got my rhyme, I've got my set, or am I speaking to a living person called Jesus? Am I repenting daily? bringing things into the light, allowing people in to help me to be accountable to what I clearly see Jesus wants for me. And this might be a big one, but am I still responding to what the Holy Spirit is moving in my heart? Or have I grown comfortable? I hear it on a Sunday, and tonight when I get back, I'll deal with Jesus about it. Or am I allowing God to change me in the moment that it's stirring something in my heart? Have I grown comfortable or aware that what will people think when I stand up to respond? Or am I still at that place going, Lord, if you are stirring something in my heart, I'm going to run to you no matter if somebody next to me is standing up or not. Our comfort zones are such a dangerous space for our rudders. The last one, winds. Am I allowing the gifts that he's given us to change me? Am I receiving the gifts he so clearly gave us to grow and opening myself up to them? Not just going and listening and, oh, that's nice. Or when I see there's an equip, do I actually prioritize getting there? Because it is the apostolic gifts that's going to be sharing directly into our lives to help us grow into maturity, to help us to live like Jesus. We see it clearly in Ephesians that God gave the fivefold ministry to the churches. In other words, they already had the word. They already had the Old Testament. They had a lot of these letters circling. They had one or two, didn't have Revelation yet. But do they still drifted? Sorry, that wasn't a question. And then God said, but I've given you these gifts to help you to grow into maturity, to look like Jesus. So are we still there? Are we still receiving gifts for what they are, allowing them to change us, to be part of what they're doing? Am I spiritually mature in the way I speak? How about when others speak into my life? How am I receiving correction? What is my words? What is my thoughts? What am I saying to my friends after those conversations? How am I portraying my leaders to those around me? Am I humble and teachable? This is such an important one. Because the thing is, if we look at that scripture that went along with the previous point, the thing about spreading lies perceived as truths, do I realize if I'm not humble in the way that I'm teaching and speaking about the things of God, I could be spreading the lies, thinking it's truths, because I'm not humbling myself, being open for people that's received an anointing to come and bring correction. It is one of the big things that makes Andrew who Andrew is. Somebody that knows him very well, that's journeyed very closely with him, had a conversation with me once, and they said the one thing they believe who's made Andrew who he is, I'm not speaking about God's anointing, I'm not talking about that, it was how extremely teachable and humble he was with his own opinions. Because if he received something from someone and he didn't agree with it, he assumed that he was deceived. And he would go to them and say, you have an anointing that I do not. Could you help me to see it the way you do? And he took it. We've got to be so careful not to have our opinions guide our rudder. Can I speak the truth in love? And then we've got these three points that the Bible gave us as well. That is the manner and content of what I speak about helping the body to fit together, to grow in health, and to be filled with love. Because if it's not, why am I speaking about it? We cannot afford to speak carelessly. So Matthew 12, verse 36 to 37, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Guys, this is such a serious thing. And we tend to make light of it because we fall into this thing of grace. We fall into this thing of love. So we become comfortable in the way we speak and think. And the problem is the way we speak influences the way we think. So we can't afford to say something in the line of, you know, I'm just rebelling against God a bit. Do you realize what you're saying? Do you realize the danger and the waters that you are traversing. We can't afford to make light of God. We can't afford to make light of conviction. We can't make light of accountability. If God has asked us to do something, we can't just go like, yeah, you asked, but you know what, that's fine. It's kind of in the past. I'm just not up to it. Do you realize what you're saying, that you are writing your testimony to be handed over and going, but this is what you said. When I came to receive you, when I came because I loved you, when I wanted to come and love on you and change you because I wanted to see you heal and walk in everything I have for you, when I wanted to restore you back to the honored person that I made you to be, you said, you know what? We've got to be so careful and not make light of what we're saying. We've got to take it seriously in all circumstances of life. We also have got to be very careful. And this might just be a practical thing for us. I think I was so guilty of this. So if I go to an elder and I say, God has told me to do this, what do you think? I don't think that's the right way of doing it, guys. I was like, I'm guilty of this, eh? And it was just because I didn't know how, like I didn't word it correctly. But it doesn't change about the thing, the seriousness of this. If I go to someone and I say, you know what, God has told me to, and now I would like to get your opinion, why are we having the conversation? Because if God told you to, my opinion means absolutely nothing. It means very little. It means less than little. But I can go to somebody and say, I'm feeling this, but I don't know if this is God. I need you to help me navigate this thing because I really want to follow what God wants to do. Counsel in the wisdom of many, and Yoli. Does that make sense? So just in the way we word it, we change this whole game. We change this whole thing because I'm coming with an arrogance, without me meaning to. But I'm coming going like, yeah, but God spoke to me. What do you say? I don't think we need to have this conversation. Good luck. I am praying for you. And the same with the prophetic. So this is something that's actually been highlighted quite a lot, even amongst like the elders meetings and stuff like that last year. When you bring a prophetic word, bring the prophetic word. It's important that you bring the prophetic word. You need to be obedient with what God is entrusting you, but don't come. God says that he will ruin the direction, the interpretation, the doctrine. All of that was given to the elders. It's an anointing on the elders to find the direction of where God wants to take the meeting. So if I'm experiencing something, I need to go to them, but I go with, hey, I just got this picture, I just got this verse, I'm feeling this, I don't know if it's God or not, but I wanted to submit it to you. Because then they can find the direction without us influencing it from what we think God said. Does that make sense? So don't not take the stuff, take the stuff. But be wise in the wording of how we take stuff to submit it. Because it is a submission. And then the last verse, I am landing. Luke 6, verse 45. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. Our tongue is simply pointing to what's hidden deep in our heart. Let us no longer speak like the people we were, but let us shift our focus to where we are going. Let us start speaking from who Jesus is, not who I was. Let us speak life and love with gentleness and humility and see God take his church forward. Because he will take us into looking so much more like him.